Nick Lawrence from Mid-Major Madness back here again with another conference preview. Today we got Coach Richie McKay from Liberty University. How are you doing, Coach?
Nick, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing pretty well. So, I mean, you've been successful at Liberty. This is your second stop. You've done it before. Just what's been the key to your success so far at Liberty?
Oh, Nick, how much time do we have, man? I've
All day.
I'm really blessed to have, first of all, an unbelievable group of assistant coaches and a leadership in our administration that really, really supports our cause. And unlike the narrative that gets swirled around out there about Liberty being an ATM, I'm not talking about financial support. I think we're competitive in terms of how we're resourced, but I'm just talking about the emotional support, the prayers, the belief in an alignment to a vision that is uncommon. And I get to be the benefactor of working at a place like Liberty. So, and then when you add that, Nick, to a group of players that when we started out, man, I think we had a bunch of guys that no one recruited, and they just believed in the standards that were set, and they raised them. And since then, we, because of their intentionality, we've been able to attract a really high quality young man and some pretty good basketball players. And I've just been able to be a part of it. So thank you for asking the question, but I think there's a lot to do with how we've been able to be on a little bit of a rise.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun to watch over these last couple of years. You've just been dominating, and one of the players that have been dominating, we talked about before, Darius McGee, he returned again. He's been important to the program. Just talk about what it means to you for him to return back. I mean, he shoots the three very effectively, and that's just what you guys have been doing over these last couple of years.
Yeah, Nick, well, I know you follow it closely, you and the team at Mid-Major Madness, so thanks for recognizing him. And we can talk all you want about what he does and can do on a basketball court, but, you know, ironically, the narrative or the story that Darius had in returning, I think, is worth mentioning. He finished his season. He's the all-time leading wins player at Liberty. He's set a bunch of record, back-to-back A-Sun Player of the Year awards, and literally could have gone anywhere he wanted for his COVID year. He was invited to Reese's All-American game, the Portsmouth Invitational. He turned all that down to retain his eligibility, and talked to a few NBA teams about, you know, his future and what he needed to do. Could have signed a pro contract the day our season got over overseas, and then he stayed. And then, Nick, get this, he didn't ask for one thing to stay.
Damn.
He didn't talk at IL. He didn't say, hey, can you get me this? He didn't respond to the overtures that he was DM'd about and going here or there. I think that speaks volumes to his teammates and the experience he's having here. I love the kid. He's unique. I don't think you get many like him. We have a couple of guys that I think are generational in terms of their character and their selflessness. And then, man, on the court, like we talked off air, and I've been fortunate enough to be around some really good players and coach against some really good players. And Darius McGee is in that mix. He literally could play anywhere. Sometimes I sit back and I marvel at some of the things that we've seen him do. And I'm glad he's wearing a Liberty jersey, because if he weren't, I'd buy a ticket on an off night to go watch him play.
Yeah, I mean, I think that speaks a lot about the culture there too. Just talk about the culture and what's been built.
Yeah, Nick, I heard a mentor of mine say a while back, he said family isn't just reflected or represented in your blood relatives, but it's anyone that loves you unconditionally. And the aforementioned guys that we started with, you know, when I was at Virginia with Coach Bennett, I think our last two seasons, we were like 29-7 and 30-4. And we were number two in the country for like 10 weeks. And we're a 1-2-1 and a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. So we had lost, I want to say, 11 games in 2 years. Well, Nick, our first year here, man, we lost our first 13 Division I games. And finally broke through and we beat a good Coastal Carolina team on the road, you would have thought we just won the Big South tournament. But man, those guys, they hung in there. We didn't play a possession of zone. They kept believing in the system. We were getting a little better every time out. And they really started a spirit of sacrifice and selflessness that I think kind of opened the door for recruiting a five-star kid and may have only been a two-star player, but as a result, man, we started to attract a young man that I think really was a great representative of our program.
Yeah, and I mean, another great representation is just the retention you have. I mean, you're returning a lot. You got Kyle Rhodes, Shiloh, Blake Brody all back. Some pretty big pieces. Just talk about the rest of your returners and who do you think could be a little breakout player that not many people know about?
You mentioned a bunch of them. Kyle Rhodes, I think he was second team all league in a really good ASUN, which will be even better this year. He's unheralded. Maybe I've seen him dunk once over the course of his 3 years, but there's no better connector on offense or defense than Kyle Rhodes. And by connector, I mean with his voice and his play. He could literally score 20 points on one night and then not shoot on the next night. He just cares about winning and plays with a passion. And I think the biggest compliment I can give Kyle is he's always present. You know, he comes to practice, to a game, to a meeting with a purpose in mind. And I have a great respect that kid will lead an organization one day to its heights. Shiloh Robinson just is one of those improvement. If you put his picture by the definition of gradual improvement, he'd be well represented of that name. He's gotten better each year, and I think he's had a really good spring and summer, and I like what he's done. Blake Preston, another unheralded guy, plays a huge role for us. Started his sophomore year, didn't start as much as junior year, as a starting candidate for his senior year, and he's really done a good job. He's improved in his strength and skill. Brody Peebles, who I absolutely love, he was a 3,000-point scorer in high school, believe it or not. Had some up and down segments of the season, but is offensively, he's really, really special. And defensively, he's gotten so much better and stronger. I think he's going to have a chance to have a great season. Isaiah Warfield, Joseph Vincent, both guys that played, I think, about 16, 17 minutes a game for us last year. They really own their improvement. And then we've got a freshman class. No, Jonathan Jackson's had a really good summer and spring and summer, Nick. And then we have a really good freshman class. I will lose the leadership that Keegan McDowell had for our program, and Micaiah B was a really good player for us. But I think we've got 10 or 11 guys that could impact the game.
Yes, sir. And something that's really cool is I saw that your son he's the video coordinator now. He's earned that role on the team. Just talk about how awesome that is as a dad to see your son starting to start his coaching career, rise up slowly after his little playing career for you.
Yeah, it's really been a joy the last four seasons here at Liberty. Because Luke was a man, maybe the last five seasons, he was a manager for 2 years. Then he played his last two, and now he's our video coordinator. But I've got another son, Gabriel.
Yep.
Well, let me talk about Luke. He's special. That kid is, he's got a great future in this business just because of the kind of servant he is. He got married this summer to a great gal, Caitlin, and I'm just blessed. And my wife is happy with me because he's really close by. But he earned the position. He didn't get it just because we're related. He was a really popular player with his teammates, and he's knocked it out of the park for us. And then Gabriel transferred from Tribeca. He left a full scholarship there to come play for us. And, man, you want to talk about improvement? I think in a couple of our starters, returning starters, have said over the last 10 days, he's our most improved player. And I'm really proud of him. I think he's got a chance to play for us, and It's really a great privilege to be able to do life daily with your family, but both Luke and Gabriel get a chance to see what I do on a daily basis and to be a part of it, and I get a chance to learn from them and what they're experiencing. So it's been a real blessing, man. I can't tell you, I wouldn't trade these years for anything.
That's so cool. Yeah, I know many coaches don't get that opportunity, and you've been able to do it a couple of times, so this would be just so rewarding.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. It is. It really is.
And continuing on, I mean, you got a really tough non-conference schedule this time around. You're going to Alabama, you got that tournament in Cancun, you're going to Oral Roberts, Bryant, and you host NC Central and Southern Miss. Just talk about the schedule and how they'll get you back up towards the top of the Sun.
Yeah, it's our hope that we can play the most competitive non-conference schedule that we can, because we know how hard it is to compete for the top of a really good conference, and the ASUN has just improved year in and year out. I think it's one of the, and I know all coaches say this about their leagues, and every league is hard to win, but I really think it's one of the most underrated leagues around. And you add Queens and Austin Peay, and you and I both know, because how closely follow it, how good Queens has been at the Division II level. I said that about Bellarmine when they came in the league. I want to say they had 13 straight NCAA appearances, and would have had another one last year if they would have been eligible. So there's some really good coaches and really good players in this league. So I think that necessitates the intentional pursuit of a very difficult non-conference schedule. And we got it. We got it in the form of going to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Nate Oates is one of the best coaches in the country. We lost our strength coach to Henry Barrera to them, and so it's not like he won't have a pretty good personnel scout. We got a really good strength coach from Memphis and Rob Hornet, but we certainly miss him, and we'll enjoy our trip to Tuscaloosa. I hope he won't give him too many of our secrets. And then, man, the Cancun Classic, which is a great event, with I think we open with a really good Northwestern team, and then Bradley and Auburn in the second game. I know how difficult that'll be, but anytime you can play neutral site against a quality opponent, i.e., our game against Bryant, I think that's healthy. And we go to Oral Roberts. We all know Max Asemus and what a great job Paul Mills has done there and turning that program. He's a Scott Drew disciple, and you can just look at Scott Drew's descendants, and they've all had success, whether it's Matt Driscoll at North Florida and Jerome Tang's going to knock it out of the park at Kansas State. I just think for us, and we tried a multitude of conferences and really tried to be aggressive in scheduling, and I was satisfied with what we were able to do.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned there at the start, not to get too far off on a tangent, but it's your last year in the ASUN. I was talking last night to Grant Leonard. I didn't know your first coaching stop, one of your first coaching stops was at Queens. Just talk about like how cool that is to have them in the league after passing through there all that time ago.
Dale Lehr hired me as his assistant the first year Queens started allowing men to be a part of the school. It used to be an all-women school. And Dale Lehr, who's an assistant for Buzz Williams at Texas A&M now, did a fabulous job at building a program from scratch. I got to be an eyewitness to it. And to see that place grow into what it is now, Bart Lundy's done a terrific job there. Grant's going to do a fabulous job. His fingerprints are all over that program. So yeah, it will be really neat to go back and see. Although I think they'll be rooting hard for the Royals and not for the Flames, just to see how much that program has grown. Because I was there in the infant stages of building that basketball program.
Yeah, and then lastly, I mean, just talk about the rest of the league, the rest of the teams in the league.
Yeah, I could go down all 13 other teams and tell you that I think the respect that we've garnered for the coaches that are in this league and the difficulty it is in trying to compete for the top, that's authentic. I really think, FGCU did a great job in hiring Pat Chambers, who's a terrific coach. And I know Michael Fye did a good job there. And that program has it's had so much success. Ray Harper is legendary in what he's done in coaching. He's won everywhere he's been. and that team was as difficult for us as any in the league. Jerome Mincy has done a fabulous job at Jacksonville to get them, and I think he inherited, and he acknowledged that, he inherited a really good squad from Tony, and he did a ton with the transfer portal and their staff. They were lights out last year, right? And they've got pretty much everyone back. Matt Driscoll, completely underrated for the job that he does at North Florida. Scott Davenport, one of the best coaches in the country. So where do I go from here? Because I think that's six or seven.
Yeah.
And I really believe Eastern Kentucky and that system is A.W. Hamilton's phenomenal. I think that's really hard to play against. And Anthony Boone, who I coached against way back in the day, has done a really good job in building his program at Central Arkansas. So Donnie Jones, like, again, Nick, I'm not kidding.
Yeah, just go on and on.
Really, it's really one of the best coach leagues in the country. And whomever I left out, I'm sure I messed up. But we know how arduous it is night in and night out. And this is our last year, and we're excited about moving to Conference USA. And don't get me started on how good that league is. But we know the challenges that the ASUN presents and just how well-respected this league is becoming nationally.
Yeah, I mean, up and down, it's like a lot of these leagues now, but you have the coaches that are the veterans in the league that can coach anywhere and do it successfully, and you have these young guns who are just rising up and doing so well. I mean, I was saying yesterday, over these last couple of years, it just seems like getting hired to be a head coach, these head coaches that are getting hired have just been outstanding. They've gone to these programs and done really well really early.
No doubt. And I left out the best one, Lenny Acuff.
Yeah.
He's got the most wins in the league of any coach in the league. So, and Asan Asajula, arguably
same player,
preseason All-American candidate. So I think the league deserves more respect than it gets because of how challenging it is. But it's Division I basketball, and all leagues are hard to win. But I will say this, Nick. I think whoever represents our league in the conference tournament, I guarantee you they'll be a tough out once they get to the NCAA tournament because of how well prepared they will have been going through our regular season and conference tournament.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate you taking this time to speak to me. It was a great conversation.
Nick, thanks for having us on, man. Again, you guys do a terrific job.
Thank you.
You make it really, really enjoyable for mid-major basketball fans to feel important, especially with your content and
appreciate
how in-depth you guys are. So hats off to you, man. Appreciate the way you help the game.
Appreciate it so much. Speak soon.
All right, take care, Nick.
Sounds good. Talk to you later.